Our New Testament reading for today is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 1 through 24. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what Scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus to save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Alan Shade from Emmanuel Lutheran Church, St. Charles, Missouri.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When our children were much younger, my wife and I would listen attentively to the advice given by parents about how to raise children. It would seem that those most confident in giving advice thought they had raised near-perfect children. For those of us who had more strong-willed offspring, there seemed little hope that our children would turn out well. It only dawned on us slowly that there was no single method by which children were to be raised because children are different from each other. We should have learned that from watching our Heavenly Father try to raise faithful children. Paul had addressed this earlier in Romans, showing in Romans 1 and 2 that God sometimes punished unfaithful children swiftly and strongly, while at other times allowing other children the opportunity to have enough leeway that they would only come in repentance when they'd crashed and burned, like the prodigal son. He had hit bottom before he would humbly stand in repentance before his father. As in chapters 9 and 10, Paul's deep concern in his own fatherly way is the eternal welfare of his beloved fellow Jews. In his ministry, he has constantly gone first to the Jews in every community. It was only after their rejection of Jesus that he would devote his time to the Gentiles. He was, after all, the apostle to the Gentiles. As a loving Heavenly Father, God had lavishly poured out his love on his people. Abraham became a great nation. The people flourished in Egypt. They were heroically delivered by Moses. They were fed generously through their journey to the Promised Land, and then they were granted a land flowing with milk and honey. God raised up mighty kings for them and provided them wise and eloquent prophets to guide their ways. So what had been the result? Some were faithful, but willful obedience and idolatry had been the more common response. The judges say it again and again. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Then what would a caring father do? Hebrews 12 tells us that God disciplined his people, not because he was a harsh taskmaster, but for their own good. It was out of love that he used punishment to help them understand the evil of their ways and to lead them to repentance and faith. As with children, we know sometimes even the thoughtful use of correction and discipline does not succeed. In the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, we're left to wonder, did the older son ever recognize the truth of his father's love for both sons? For the Jews of Paul's time, their rejection of the grace of God had proved a fruitful opportunity for the Gentiles. If natural children had rejected their place at the table of grace, then the table would be filled with guests who were adopted into the family of God, even if they were not physical descendants of Abraham. In Paul's imagery, branches of the wild olive tree had been grafted into the true vine. But Paul's marveling at the grace of God, how patient and faithful he had been, does not overlook the need for a warning to his Gentile readers. Human beings have an amazing ability to take pride in things they should not. A singer gushes about how well she sings. An athlete whose abilities he could not buy or earn brags about how well he performs. For Paul, there will be no room for the adopted children to strut around the banquet room and pretend they are somehow more deserving than the Jews. Grace is still grace. We are only beggars receiving a magnificent gift from the King. In fact, Paul is rather hoping that the Jews will notice that Gentiles are streaming into the kingdom while they are still rejecting God's gracious offer in Christ. He hopes that somehow the Gentile conversions will finally get through to his Jewish brothers and sisters in a way that will lead them to repentance. Like our Heavenly Father, he has great compassion for them. So Paul, like a caring and energized father, tries desperately to reach both sons, still reaching out, using both vinegar and honey to reach the Jews, and at the same time cautioning Gentile believers not to let pride cause their downfall. We give thanks today that God does not give up on us when we stubbornly go our own way, chasing our own idols and thinking we are smarter than he. Nor should our treasured status as adopted children of God, brought into the family by our baptism, cause us to look down on others. May the Spirit of God move us to daily repentance for signs of wanting to be our own God, and may he deepen our appreciation for the marvelous and gracious working of God to keep us close to him into eternity. Amen.
We thank Pastor Alan Shade from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles, Missouri for today's meditation on God's Word.